Well, family violence continues to be a scourge in this country. It is still the case that one woman a week dies at the hands of her current or former partner, and hundreds more are assaulted each day. Lobby groups say the violence almost always starts with controlling behaviours by the abuser, and then it escalates. That has now prompted a coordinated campaign to make coercion a criminal offence. Rhett Burney reports.
Lisa McAdams is a domestic violence survivor.
He would do things like he isolated me. I didn't have access to money. I didn't know he was doing it, but he would block my friends from my phone. So I would ring them, but it was like they never rang me back. He would undermine everything I did.
As time went on, that behaviour, known as coercive control, got worse, and the Sydney woman's former partner became violent.
There was violence, but the violence really was, you know, if I was becoming too independent or I argued back, that would be the reminder that who's in charge. It wasn't, you know, a case of him losing his temper. It would be, do you remember where this can go? And you'd go, oh yeah, now I remember why I do as I'm told when I'm told.
Hayley Foster is the Chief Executive Officer at Women's Safety New South Wales.
The vast majority, 99% of domestic homicides where a female victim is murdered by her partner or ex-partner, they've been preceded by coercive control.
She says the behaviour can take many shapes and forms.
So coercive control is really where an abuser uses tactics of fear and intimidation, a range of behaviours over a course of time, such as surveillance, monitoring, isolating them from friends and family, degrading them, making them basically subservient to them.
But despite Australia's epidemic of domestic violence, coercive control isn't a crime.
When we think about what is the most dangerous and damaging component of domestic and family violence not actually being a crime in this country, it does beg a belief in some ways.
And that's prompted Women's Safety New South Wales to partner with several other advocacy groups, including White Ribbon, to lobby each state and territory to make it a criminal offence. Stella Tarrant is an associate professor at the University of Western Australia's Law School. She supports the campaign to criminalise coercive control, but says any legislation drafted for it must be carefully crafted.
If you can imagine a nagging wife kind of concept, if that is the lens through which a relationship is seen or evidence is seen or facts are seen, then we can easily see that we could conflate the idea of coercive control with simply a nagging wife idea or a nagging partner idea.
And Stella Tarrant says in some cases, the victim could end up being portrayed as the perpetrator.
Unless there's a thorough understanding of what coercive control is, then that reversal of responsibility and blame can easily occur.
Hayley Foster from Women's Safety New South Wales again.
You know, we are thinking very much the risks in putting in place a new law and what it's going to need to make sure that it has the desired effect. But we must also remember that the risks involved not doing this.
Domestic violence survivor Lisa McAdams managed to flee her abuser 14 years ago. She says if coercive control is criminalised, it'll help many women across Australia who are going through now what she did then.
If it had been criminalised or we were even talking about criminalising it, people would have been talking about these behaviours as part of abuse. I didn't know it was abuse. I didn't know it counted. So if I start to, you know, talk about it and criminalise it and make people understand, people aren't going to get to the stage where their life's in danger but they don't know.
Domestic violence survivor Lisa McAdams speaking with Rhett Burney. And if you're in an abusive situation or you know someone who is, call 1-800-RESPECT. That's 1-800-737-732. If it's an emergency, call 000.